All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello. Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. I didn't even check to see if my mic was hooked up right. Now realizing that. One second. Yes, we're fine. Perfect. Anyway, welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry.
Hello. I noticed that you have a Love's Caramel Lattes.
Yes. I was playing around in the StreamYard settings and I saw that someone had turned off the show headlines. And I was like, no, we're headline people here. So.
Listen, you love caramel lattes. I love espresso martinis.
Exactly. It's just a vibe.
I was telling you earlier, my coffee was messed up because I think that there's something that's bad in my freezer, which caused my ice to have that weird freezer taste.
Like freezer burnt?
Not like freezer burnt, but it's like some, because we get a lot of like meat and then we put it in the freezer. So I'm wondering if like one of those has gone rancid, or like maybe it's something in the fridge. I don't know. It's an older fridge.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Sometimes it also just has that smell, you know, you just have to clean it. Which means I have to take everything out of the freezer, clean it, whatever. But it's just annoying because I'm expecting a really good espresso drink and then I go to taste it and it just tastes off. It's either that or I'm dying or something. Like
I don't think you're dying.
I don't know. What is the thing of like everything tastes sour?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that COVID? I don't know.
I don't know. Is there, maybe it's a precursor, you know, like when you're getting sick and you start. Maybe you're getting sick.
No.
Knock on wood.
No. Do I have anything wood around me? No.
My desk is wood. I got you.
Thank you. That's how it works with conspiracies, right? It works through electronic messaging.
Oh, how did you say
telekinesis? I love it. Well, we're here to talk about how wrestling made us cry, and there's so much to talk about. Even just like last night's show.
Yes.
How late were you up for the Grandma Slammest?
I ended up going to bed because I didn't feel good because I'm sick and I got tired of waiting. Because the NBA thing?
Basically.
It went so long.
It's basically like the sports entertainment of actual sports.
Yeah, I was very upset.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Even though I'm 3 hours behind, I grew impatient and I went to bed.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did. I think a lot of people are catching up this morning, which fair enough.
Hey, we can do that now in 2025. That's an option. But what is a skills challenge? I want to know.
I'm thinking that they have competitions and like 3-point shots and like slam dunks and like that kind of stuff. I'm thinking. Oh yeah, 3-point dribbling course and dunk contest. What is it like? What do you win? Do you win money? Why do the players do it?
I'm sure you win something of monetary value, whether it's money or
maybe prizes. It's just like bragging rights. I don't know.
Put that on the job apps.
It's like in your awards and achievements. I love the dribbling course.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it was annoying to wait for that. It's annoying because like I get that TBS and TNT wanted to like wait until that was over. Mm-hmm. But like how kind of cutesy would it have been if they were just like, man, we'll just put it on Max.
Yeah.
Regular time.
Yeah. But also I did see people who were posting screenshots of NBA fans who just stayed to watch AEW and their like live reactions to it. So
what a great opening contest to start with.
I know. Just a reminder, guys, if you want your question, your comment, your statement, whatever, read on air, make sure to submit a super chat and we'll read all of those as we talk about AEW Grand Slam Australia, which was a small card because it's a TV special.
Right. Which but people were mad about.
Yeah. I personally, I love a good TV special because I don't have to dedicate as much time as a pay-per-view.
Right. So
it's less exhausting, but also it's better than like their normal week-to-week TV, which AEW TV, week-to-week TV, firing on all cylinders lately.
I know. It's been like banger episode after banger episode after banger episode, you know?
They're like getting in their groove. And, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx them, but I'm sensing a comeback.
We're back, baby!
We are so back. Mm-hmm. And if this TV special is anything to go by, I think Revolution is going to be disgustingly good.
Disgusting?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Kenny Omega, because you guys know I need to. The Omega Ospreay Takeshita Fletcher match, fantastic, amazing, as expected.
What a perfect way to start off the show.
Yeah, especially for like the NBA lead-in viewers who are just like catching it to mm-hmm. see, because these four guys are four of the best on the roster, but they're also four of the most like eye-catching in the sense that obviously they're all beautiful people to look at. But mm-hmm. also, the way they wrestle is very, like, inhuman athleticism and just freakishly good. So it's a good match to start with for that reason. But also, it set up two more banger matches for Revolution. So, and can we talk about this Australian crowd?
So hot. I mean, it's taken this long to get to Australia. I mean, granted, I get it, but really great crowd, great chants, great energy, great vibes.
They've had a good time. Agreed. Listen, I love when a crowd is uniform in its enthusiasm. Because, you know, sometimes you get a show where it's like this section's really hot and this section is just like eating nachos and sitting there.
And eating then nachos?
Every arena has these nachos. And it's normally they come in like a plastic tray and it's like nacho cheese and like little teeny tiny little tortilla chips.
What?
And like they're like this big. And then maybe some like salsa if the arena's feeling froggy.
What?
Yes.
Every venue?
I don't eat them, but I've seen them. When I'm at a wrestling show, I can't eat. I'm just
You can't eat. Oh, no, this is interesting. Excited. This is interesting to me.
Yeah, I get so excited that I can't eat. But me and my sister, because we normally go to shows together, we have a tradition. Mm-hmm. If it's a pay-per-view that we're at, normally it is a pay-per-view if we're both there. Around like the mid card, like halfway through the card, we start to get a little bit tired.
Oh.
Because by then it's like 11 p.m., right?
Right.
And so, or like 10 or 11. So we get Diet Cokes and
classic crispy Diet Coke. Love that.
And Skittles. And I don't know. It was just
original? Tropical? Yes,
the original Skittles. Because every venue, normally they have those Skittles.
Okay.
And so we call them like no tired Skittles or no sleep Skittles, and we eat the Skittles and we get a sugar high, and that's it.
But
I've been feeling I'm kind of upset. So arenas now, like, they won't give you the Diet Coke in a bottle because you can throw it and it could be a hazard. And then if you get, they pour it, make you pour it into a cup, and they won't give you a lid or a straw.
Do they not know that people spill things?
Exactly. And also, I don't want the arena, like, germs in the air to get in my Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So I've been a little annoyed. Yeah.
I feel like someone should change that, because that so easily could be, like, someone walking by you and, like, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's because they don't want you throwing it. And if it has a lid, then you can throw it easier without all the liquid coming out. So I don't know if there was, like, because it wasn't like this before the pandemic, at least in, like, my experience at wrestling shows.
Yeah.
But after the pandemic, it's, like, becoming increasingly more common. And I don't know if it's because people have been just being annoying at concerts and shows and stuff and throwing stuff. I don't know. But I need them to stop. Because you walk up, you buy the Diet Coke in a bottle at a lot of these places, and then they make you pour it into a cup in front of them before you can leave.
Okay. Well, it's not like that here, because when I went to Wrestle Dream, you know, I have a pre-show either beverage or a Diet Crispy Coke, depending on the time. Because remember, it's 3 hours behind. Mm-hmm. So if I'm drinking at, like, starting at 2 p.m., that's a little sus, right? But I'll get a libation. I understand needing to have those in, like, an open container. You know, like, I get that. Yeah. Because I drink. I don't like to eat things, because I also, you know, I get rogue, like IBS flares. And the most awkward thing is just, like, sitting there and, like, your stomach is like, no. We don't play those games. But I do like to get up constantly, go get a beverage, walk around, because ADHD, you know, I gotta, you know, stimuli, yeah. Right? They gave me the largest Diet Coke at the end. I went up there during the Chris Jericho match, which was right before the main event. And I was like, I can't be watching this Chris Jericho match. So I went up and I was like, I just want, like, a small Diet Coke. They were like, okay, here you go. They handed me a huge Diet Coke. I was like, that's a small. They were like, it's fine. They put the lid on it. And the straw was, like, forever long. I was like, who is this for?
Me.
Yeah. For me. So then I mean, it's like $12 for the freaking soda anyways, but it's still of, like, this is huge. And I'm walking down to my seat with a freaking bucket, like, in the in the media section, and I'm like, guys, I'm fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Just a little special treat, you know?
It's fine. Me and my bucket of Diet Coke.
That's my dream. I would love, because listen, everything at these venues is so expensive.
Right.
They're so crazy. There was one time,
there's
though,
no cup holders, nothing. It's not like a movie theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also the distance, like, on the ground between your seat and the person in front of you, minuscule.
Because so you're shorter than me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as a tall person, my knees are usually going into the back of their necks. Unless I'm, like, spreading. And it's, like, it's usually me and my husband, or, like, me and my friends. So, like, they don't care that our knees are touching. But if I, like, go to something and I'm on the end, my knees are in the back of the neck of the other person. And I'm trying to be as small and dainty and cute as possible. But when you're, like, in the 6 feet range, some of these arenas are not... meant for me.
Yes.
So I'm just sitting there with, like, I'm, like, on the balls of my toes or my feet, and I'm, like, constantly in the, you know, trying to flex my feet because they're getting tired. Trying to not hit people in the back of the head with my knees.
It's brutal out here.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I just... They need to sign me up to be, like, consultant to the venues, and I'll tell them how to fix all their problems.
Consultant to the venues. I love this. I love this. Tony Khan.
Consultant to the venues. I will solve all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Every Diet Coke will be in a bucket.
Yeah.
You'll have better candy selections. And some venues have good food, but some of them are so nasty. So we'll fix that too.
I like it.
Period. But anyway, back to Grand Slam.
Oh, yeah.
Little tangent about how bad we think venues are.
I know. But it's true, though. Nothing you said is wrong.
Yeah. Daily's Place, God tier.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why can't everything be Daily's Place?
I love Daily's Place. I've been there so many times, and it's so good. I also love the Prudential Center in New Jersey. That one's at the top of my list. The United Center's pretty good.
I miss the Prudential Center.
The Greensboro Coliseum was good.
Because that's where you saw Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I love Sting. I'm like having AW show withdrawals. Because I haven't been to one since last Revolution. Because I've just been so busy that I can't take a weekend and go to a show anymore.
Yeah. It's also very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stupid expensive. Doesn't have any right to be that expensive. It shouldn't. But I also have this issue to say about concerts. Like, if I want to go see my favorite band, it shouldn't cost me $1,000.
Yeah. And it's all fees.
It's all fees.
What are we being feed for? What are the fees?
What are you feeing me?
Like, honestly, Ticketmaster, I hope that you are broken up by whatever laws are at play in the lawsuit thing that's happening, and I hope that Ticketmaster dies.
Yeah,
because they ruin everything. They ruin everything.
I mean, I think that the moment that they merged with whoever the Live Nation,
mm-hmm.
they said, "Oh, we don't have any competition anymore." So,
well, I don't know about AEW shows, but I do feel like AEW pay-per-views, and I guess now TV specials, because Grand Slam Australia was so good. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're more likely to get your money's worth.
Agreed.
So, but back to Kenny Omega.
What did you think of the first match, Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega teaming together?
I liked it. And I was a little bit skeptical about the Omega Ospreay pairing because I didn't know if it was gonna work. If it would feel too cheesy because they're like, oh, we're friends now. This is my best buddy. I didn't know if it would feel forced. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it felt like the match itself was going to be good regardless because look at the people who are in it, right? But I really love the Omega Takeshita rivalry and like the interplay of that. And I like to see Takeshita be put on his back foot a little bit and be a little bit sort of not the alpha that he thinks he might be. And so I'm excited for that match because Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay in like a backstage promo, they made their challenges for Revolution. AEW announced this like somewhat convoluted international title thing where it's like, I'm not entirely sure how it works yet, but it's Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong. And then whoever wins that wrestles Takeshita
mm-hmm.
the title. And then whoever wins that wrestles Kenny Omega at Revolution.
Yeah. It's the get to punch your ticket to see the final boss, right?
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit funny because they're like, Kenny Omega, you're there regardless. Takeshita as the champion, you got to fight for your spot to wrestle Kenny Omega. Sorry, bud.
You got to fight to wrestle your biggest enemy, though.
And I feel bad for Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong because, like, I think it's a given that Takeshita is going to win this thing. But I just think it's so funny that Kenny Omega jumps the line. He doesn't have to wrestle anybody for his shot. Takeshita has to wrestle for his shot at Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
For his own
champion.
Title.
The champion has to figure out how to get there.
But you know what? That's where Kenny Omega deserves to be. That's where he deserves
to be. True. Because he is the champion of my heart. So
me too. Champion of all things.
Yeah.
I love his new the pyro with it's just flames. Oh, the pictures that people like photographers have taken, so good.
That was my only issue with his entrance was I wanted battle cry.
Yeah, Didn't he have Battle Cry on Dynamite?
Yeah, he had it on Dynamite. That's what I was like, why would you deprive the people?
I thought that he was, because I understand the video game thing, and like, I don't play that video game, so I don't really know actually, but
you
I understand.
Don't know Final Fantasy?
No, it's like anything not, about? Really my, not really my vibes for video games that I like, but I understand like it's important to him and it's important to like a group of fans, but Battle Cry is so iconic, and I don't think that this song beats that.
Do you think that you're being a hater right now? Because this
I am being a hater. I'm proud of it.
This is hater coded. I love it.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Listen, New Japan, Devil Sky, banger, iconic song.
Right.
Never going to be topped. He comes into AW. He has Battle Cry. It has to grow on some people. I loved it immediately, but I can understand. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a different vibe from, you know, Devil Sky. I get it. Now it's beloved. People sing it at shows. Mm-hmm. They love it. He comes back from the brink of death, and there's no Battle Cry.
Brink of death.
There's Final Fantasy. And it's very orange all the time. And and then he comes on Dynamite, and he's like, okay, here's Battle Cry. And it was like multiple Dynamites, too.
Yeah.
It was Battle Cry. And then you go to Australia for the first time, and you serve him Final Fantasy. Is Final Fantasy going to be like his pay-per-view entrance? Like his special entrance?
Because
I feel like just do Devil Sky at that point. I
don't know the mind of Kenny Omega.
I don't either. He's an enigma. Sometimes he makes decisions and I have no idea what he's doing. Do you remember that time in AW where he used to wear like fashion printed Amazon leggings in all his matches?
Yeah.
What
Which
was
I loved. I loved.
It's such like a different vibe from New Japan Kenny Omega.
Right.
But then he would wear like proper wrestling gear, like proper tights for like the big matches. Mm-hmm. But he'd wear these like paper thin.
Yeah.
Little leggings.
It was for us.
For it was for us.
The plot. Let me look over Kenny Omega.
You're allowed. This is the place where we're allowed.
I am allowed. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I just miss Battle Cry.
I do too. That was my only issue with this match. Other than that, I think that this was like a 20 out of 10, 50 out of 10 match. Banger of a match.
This was so good. It was so good. And I mean, it was going to be good, but my expectations were high, right? And they superseded them. They jumped right over my expectations to set a new standard. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I'm really curious what they do. So like if Kenny Omega wins the international title, mm-hmm. which I'm presuming he will, because I'm still on my Omega Okada fight of the century for all the gold conspiracy. Yeah. But I'm really curious what happens to the Don Callis family after that.
I think the thing that I loved about this match the most is that there was not as much Don Callis shenanigans.
Ugh. Yes.
He stayed in his little area. I mean, I do think that between Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher got the short end of the stick. And it's his home country.
But you know what? He looked beautiful doing it.
I know. But, I mean, there was, like him starting the match with Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, the entire arena erupted. Like, it was really great to see those two go toe-to-toe. But the moment that Kenny Omega entered the ring, It's Boots the House, right? It's just Kenny doing Kenny shit. There was not a point in time that I went, Kenny is not winning this match. There's no way Kenny wasn't winning this match. But Kenny winning the match by having Takeshita and the One Wing Angel, and then Will Ospreay coming off the top of the rope with the Hidden Blade. I mean,
no one's surviving that.
No one at all.
But. And I don't know how long Omega and Ospreay are going to be a tag team for, but I like the vibes. It's very much giving, you know, because Omega and Ospreay in the past is very much like mentor and protege. But now it feels like Ospreay, you know, like he went off, he became an adult, he grew a beard. And now it's like, now he's coming back and he's on equal footing with his mentor. Mm-hmm. And they're friends. And I don't know if they're going to keep going with it because Omega's challenging Takeshita and it's, you know, Ospreay and Fletcher. But I would like to come back to it, maybe. I don't know where the Young Bucks are. The Young Bucks went off to Osaka. They're doing stuff in New Japan. I guess they're on AEW hiatus. Who knows? They've been gone for what feels like a millennia. I want them to come back. I don't know why they're not part of the story.
I don't know either, but it's great. It's great to have this kind of payoff. This, I don't know if it was a payoff or if like this is okay, we're on the road. Let's go. Yeah. We're starting. This is mile one.
Yeah.
We got to get to mile one. Revolution
is going to be an insane pay-per-view. And it's March 7th.
I was about to.
Yeah, March something. It's soon.
Do you know when you type in Revolution that other revolutions come up? March 9th.
March 9th. My bad.
That's okay.
And so it's soon because this
it's a Sunday.
Oh.
That ruins everything.
Who told them that they could go back to Sundays?
I don't know.
Like, Saturday is so much better.
It is.
And it's better for me and you because I only get to do a pay-per-view review.
I know.
We don't have to wait a week. I like a Saturday more because then, because like Monday morning, I got to be up early. And if I'm on the East Coast, I'm going to bed at 1 a.m. I got to be up at 6 for work because I teach a lecture Monday morning. So I got to be there. And so.
That's a tough week for me. Also, it's also, I'm not going to Comic-Con this year, Emerald City Comic-Con this year. It just, you know, usually, was that crow you?
It's outside my house, yeah.
Oh, that was a loud crow. Yeah. Emerald City Comic-Con, it was one of those things of like, okay, I was waiting for them to announce like who's going to be there, waiting for them to announce who's going to be there. And so, and you see the prices going up and I'm like, okay, I'm not waiting. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then the moment the prices went up, they went, guess what? Every cast member from Firefly is going to be there. And I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Well, if I buy my passes and then buy my meet and greets, that's already too much money.
Yeah.
It adds up fast. Spend. It does. So, no thanks.
Yeah. I haven't been. When was the last time I was at a convention? It was in Chicago and Danhausen and CM Punk were there. Oh. So, yeah, I got a Danhausen CM Punk shirt there. And then it's in the corner of my closet of of shirts that I'm like a little bit iffy on these days, but it's okay. Maybe I'll start wearing it. It's a cute shirt. And then I have a lot of CM Punk shirts, surprisingly. I know, but I have quite the collection, so maybe I'll start wearing them. But back to Grand Slam. I need to know what you thought about Harley Cameron.
This was Harley Cameron's best match.
So good.
And I said that about her match, her last like couple matches. It was so good. It was so good. And I think that this is just a precipice of what Harley Cameron is capable of doing. Yeah. I said this on my prediction show over at our local establishment yesterday. So if you want to go watch, even though the show is over, it's me and Lauren Goodnight. Absolutely great match. Loved. I mean, great show. You should go watch it. Anyways. But I had mentioned the presentation of Harley Cameron, even just a year ago when she was tag teaming with Saraya, I felt like she was just going to be like Rebel. You know what I mean? Like not a utility player, doesn't have the skills. And we've seen her in matches where it's like, you're not at that level. Mm-hmm. Something has happened within the last 6 months that has put a fire underneath Harley Cameron to where she said, F this, F being in the background, I want to be a serious wrestler. And she said in her promos this week, even in her little rap where she addresses Mercedes head on, where she said, this is important to me. Wrestling is important to me. It's everything to me. And I believe her. She's a believable baby face.
Yeah.
And the utilization of the mini Monet was just so funny. Normally, I don't like props and things that aren't in a gimmicked match, right? If it's not a gimmicked match, why are we including it? It's how I felt about Drew McIntyre and that freaking bracelet where he and CM Punk were going back and forth. I was like, this is unnecessary. But guess what? The mini Monet really elevated the storyline to be a memorable match. And I think that this was Harley's best match. I think that Mercedes excels when she's with this caliber wrestler, this body type wrestler. Not to say that like Chris Statlander and Willow aren't on that level. Those are completely different matches and different Mercedes. Mm-hmm. But when Mercedes has wrestled Joshi wrestlers to comparative when she's wrestled Harley Cameron, there is something different that comes out of Mercedes that I really like as well.
Yeah.
But I was kind of hoping that they would listen to the people and give her like a quick little, you know, victory, and then seven days later get destroyed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I wanted Harley Cameron to win so bad, mm-hmm. which just goes to show you how over she is right now as a babyface. Mm-hmm. And I've said it before on here. I really, really love her leaning into this sort of silly, goofy character, but still somehow serious. Like, I still believe that she genuinely buys into what she's saying, that she likes, like, she admires Mercedes, but she wants to beat her.
Yeah.
But this match was really good. I think Harley Cameron has improved a lot in the ring, just like even outside of the ring, obviously her best work. But mm-hmm. in the ring, I think she's improved a lot. I think that she went toe-to-toe with Mercedes in a way I didn't expect her to. Mm-hmm. She was not outshined at all. She wasn't left in the dust, which could have happened if this match happened like a year ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's like been training really hard behind the scenes or if like what it is, but Harley Cameron is such a star that they found. And I don't know if they expected her to be as over as she is right now or if she just like is just completely by surprise, mm-hmm. but I would 100% believe they need to run this match back, probably at Revolution, and probably give Harley the title.
At Revolution? Wow.
Yeah. Because I think that, like, AEW's big problem, like, the biggest problem I have with them is they have people chasing titles, and then they get a title match, and the fans want them to win so bad. But they go for, like, the edgy, like, convoluted, you're going to lose now and win later type of story, which can be good. But you don't always have to do that. And it feels like they always rely on that to like mm-hmm. stretch stories longer. And that's not like the type of long-term storytelling that fans want. So sometimes like building a short program like this Harley Cameron Mercedes one for the immediate payoff, have a good time with it. Sometimes that's better than stretching it out. I mean, the Acclaimed, Private Party. And we see it over and over and over again. So I think that Harley Cameron should have won.
Agreed.
But I am still going to support her. I love her character. And I hope that they don't, like, shove her aside or have her feud with, like, Julia Hart or something next. And I hope that she stays with Mercedes, because I also think that this is one of my favorite Mercedes feuds in AEW. I really, really like this CEO going up against, like, this goofball. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that Mercedes is always so annoyed with Harley Cameron because of it. So I hope that she stays with her. Not that I'd be mad if she went off and feuded with someone else and had a good time doing that, but I want her to. If anybody's going to defeat Mercedes, I hope it's a babyface like Harley Cameron.
That would be awesome. That I also have the same reaction to it. So
the puppet's just so good.
Why aren't they selling the puppet again?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, seems like a slam dunk.
Is that your first basketball reference here? Okay.
Yeah, I'm an NBA fan now. I don't know if you knew that. I tuned into wrestling and I saw this, like, oh, it's called like the NBA. And they were like doing like a skills challenge. And I didn't really know any of the players, but they were really tall. And they did a lot of, like, they're called slam dunks. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Never heard of it, actually.
But it's listen, they're very, like, anime-like, you know?
I'm dead. I'm so dead. I'm sorry. It's so funny to me. Oh.
The NBA. But, yes, Harley Cameron, absolute star. I love her to death. The women's division is shaping up to be my favorite part of AEW, outside of Kenny Omega, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there's also, we had Toni Storm and Mariah May.
That's our main event. That's our main event.
I know. I'm foreshadowing.
I love it. Okay, yeah. Wait. Let's see if...
Because we had Okada and Buddy Matthews.
Yeah. Which, a great match.
And then we had, it was Jay White and Cope versus the Death Riders. Which, I have thoughts about that. But let's talk about Okada. Let's talk about Okada. Let's keep the vibes going. I loved this. I love Buddy Matthews.
I just think Buddy is just the hidden gem that is AEW. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, okay, so that first match, by the way, was 23 minutes. Mercedes and Harley was 12 minutes and 45 seconds, which I was worried that that was going to get like a 9-minute spot.
Mm-hmm.
So glad about that. Okada versus Buddy, to me, was never going to be a bad match.
Yeah.
It was just how much shenanigans were going to happen in this match, because
yeah,
they both have been part of shenanigans. But here's the thing. You're not going to get a bad match out of Okada at all.
No.
And no. I don't think that you can get a bad match, well, out of Buddy. But the match starting out with Buddy offering the handshake and then Okada giving him the middle finger, this is just so coded. This is so good. Because you know how I feel about Ring of Honor, you know, a gentleman's agreement, so to speak. But the tone was set for this match. There was a neck breaker during this match that made me go, oh God. Oh God.
Yes.
Anything that has to deal with like necks and backs and stuff like that, I don't want it. I want people to be safe and I want it to be brutal and bloody. But for some reason, when it comes to like neck injuries, I'm like, I can't do it. Not even like a joke.
Yeah.
But the Rainmakers look good. Buddy using the curb stomp, which like him and Seth Rollins being friends makes sense. Buddy Matthews also using a GTS, which was interesante. But then Buddy Matthews uses the standing clover leaf. which is what Rhea Ripley uses, which, like, I've never seen him do one of her moves before. Have I not noticed before? It was just, I just felt like Buddy really was up to the challenge after this entire time of Okada being like, you're not worth it. You're not worth, you know, all the things. Yeah. And I just really love this match. It was like a dark horse match.
Yeah.
I saw people write online that like this was a throwaway match and Buddy should have won and blah, yeah. blah, blah. If Okada was going to lose it, he should have lost it here, but he's not going to lose it anytime soon. So.
Yeah. To me, it felt like this match was there so that Buddy could redefine himself outside of the House of Black as like the Hounds of Hell and like show off maybe a different moveset, some tease, some like new things that he's doing to really set him apart from Malakai. And I think it did its job because I think that he wrestled really well. I think that the crowd loved him. I loved him. And wrestling Okada, I think it was a good opportunity for him to wrestle up to that level. Mm-hmm. And I think he did. And I don't think Okada is losing the title soon. But I wonder what they do with Buddy from here, because the Hounds of Hell thing seems pretty like solidified. It's, you know, Buddy, Brody, Julia. I don't know, like, what do you put them in the tag division, Buddy and Brody? Do they do their own things as singles? Like, I don't know, but
I mean, who's holding our tag belts right now? Come on. Like,
yeah,
there needs to be some sort of action in the tag division. It needs to be alive again.
Yeah. And I think Buddy and Brody would be great additions to the tag division. And I think that, like, without Malakai, I think that Buddy can really, like, show himself off. Because, like, Brody has had more singles opportunities. Like, he had, of course, the feud with Darby. He's had other things. And Buddy's just kind of been in this weird gray zone where he's, like, sometimes he'll get a singles match, but he's definitely Buddy from the House of Black. Like, he's, you know, he's not as well-defined in AEW.
As his own. Whereas, like, Brody has had that opportunity to stand alone. I get it.
Yeah.
I just, for my own pleasure, so to speak, I want to see Brody against Bobby Lashley.
Isn't it crazy?
Shelton Benjamin. Like, yes, I want Buddy a part of that tag match, but, like,
no, it'd be crazy.
I'm a sicko. I'm just a sicko.
Yeah. And I think that, like, both Buddy and Brody have more that they can show off than what they've done so far. And I think I want to see Shelton Benjamin wrestle everybody, if I'm being completely honest. But it'd be, I don't know. They just match up so perfectly in terms of styles. And I love the Hurt Syndicate. Let me preface that. I love the Hurt Syndicate. I love everything they've done. I'm like massively committed to the Hurt Syndicate. But I love an underdog story, like an underdog comeback. Mm-hmm. And there's no bigger underdog comeback in AEW right now than Buddy and Brody.
I agree. I love
it. And I would love to see them do something. Mm-hmm. Anything. Because if you're going to, you gave them the Hounds of Hell, you gave them all these handshake, you know, you don't need Malakai Black promos. Mm-hmm. Do something with it.
Yeah.
So this was a good showing for Buddy. I was a little sad. I didn't expect him to win, but I was sad to have my like doubts confirmed, because it would have been so sick if he won. But again, it is Okada, and Omega Okada is looming in 5 months.
5 months? Yeah. Wait, what's 5 months?
All in.
All in. Oh!
we're just building for All In. Just
sorry. Whoa. In my brain, All In is like 8-9 months. I think I'm still stuck in October, you know?
Yeah, it's in July. But
July.
Mike says Josh Alexander versus Buddy.
Okay.
Also, Sean reported that Josh Alexander is expected in AEW.
Expected. I like expectations.
He's a fantastic wrestler.
Fantastic wrestler.
A lot of fantastic wrestlers. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I'm never going to say no to another toy in the toy box.
I still would like there to be a definitive edge between AEW wrestlers and Ring of Honor wrestlers, because I think a lot of people could afford to just be in Ring of Honor right now. Give me those matches so that new toys can come into the sphere.
Well, and I also think that if they cycled people in and out, like Ring of Honor to AEW, AEW to Ring of Honor, you could keep both rosters fresh and it'd be fun. It'd be a good time. But I think that if like you're cycling from Ring of Honor to AEW, you need to only be on AEW TV. If you're going AEW to Ring of Honor, you need to only be on Ring of Honor. Because it's so hard, because a lot of AEW fans don't watch Ring of Honor, so they don't know the Ring of Honor stories. So then, like, Dustin Rhodes shows up.
And he's, exactly!
And he's in a tag team with Sammy Guevara, which we have not seen on AEW TV. And he's, like, double champs. And
yeah, because he's also in a trios with the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
But and then, both of the tag teams are called the same thing.
Yes.
The Sons of Destruction or whatever. Sons of whatever.
Yeah. So and then same thing. If you're going, you know, AEW to Ring of Honor, you have to also then assume that, like, you're starting fresh. Because Ring of Honor is its own environment, like, its own ecosystem. And you just can't, like, walk in and be an AEW. It's very confusing. But I agree. But I also... I don't know. I thought I knew where they were going with Ring of Honor, and then they made Chris Jericho champion. And so who knows now?
I've been in mourning. But you know who's continuously on our show? The women of Ring of Honor.
Yes.
And that's what makes it worth it now for 103 episodes in the Tony Khan era.
The Tony Khan era. Just saying that, like, sent a chill down my spine. But I don't know. Ring of Honor is also doing an Australia show. So maybe it'll be a good time. I don't know. But what I do know is that I loved Okada and Buddy. And, like, thus far, I think, like, AEW in 2025, she's kind of a vibe. But Toni Storm and Mariah May, I think, was, like, my favorite match of the night. Apart from Kenny Omega, but we all know that's a given because Kenny's there. Like, he's going to beat everybody just because he's there. But Toni Storm is back as Timeless Toni. She's got the full thing going. You know, the Hollywood starlet, like, old school black and white TV situation. Mariah May is Mariah May. And then Toni wins. Now she's 2-time AEW Women's World Champion. What did you think of the match? And then also, what did you think of Toni winning?
So I needed Toni to win. Hello. I've been a Toni fan since forever, but the Timeless era and this being a performance of a lifetime, this was a fantastic match. The moment that bell rang, it was like, everything let loose. You know what I mean? Everything came out of the hinges. It was the perfect little sign, seal, deliver, dot your T's, cross your I's match. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. but also, I think the thing that I wouldn't expect from Toni Storm is her strength, because there is, like, a point where she picks up Mariah May, who is just, like, completely sandbagged, completely, you know, dead weight. And the way that, like, she just deadlifts her is incredible. Yeah. And the match, you know, that wasn't the end of the match. It was just counter after counter after counter. But that was the thing that I wanted to highlight here, is that Toni Storm's strength is for someone of her size, because she's a small little pint-sized creature.
Yeah.
Incredible. It's probably all in those legs.
You got a strong foundation.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I really appreciated both of them going back and forth, really paying homage to kind of their first match that was at All In last year.
Yeah.
Because there was some side-by-side comparisons that I've seen. But Mariah May doing the Storm Zero.
A slap in the face.
Slap in the face. Loved it. Loved every bit of this. So
our sassy queen, Mariah May.
What did you think for?
I loved, I mean, I knew I was going to love it.
Yeah. But
I loved it because it felt, at least to me, it felt like a decisive end to the second arc of Toni Storm. I don't know if they're going to keep doing Toni and Mariah, or if like we're going to get something new, a new challenger for Toni Storm. I don't know who it would be. But what I do know is I think Toni Storm versus Athena at Revolution would be a banger, just exhibition. Just go off, give them 25, have them go crazy. Because I think we'd see some insane stuff. But and like, I wouldn't be upset if they did Toni and Mariah again. But I also think that we can kind of get something fresh going. I don't know what you do with Mariah after that. You could put her, you know, give her like a non-title feud with Julia or Anna Jay or, you know, whoever. But I would like to see Toni, because it's been so long since Toni has feuded with someone else. I'd like to see her do something fresh. And I don't know. I mean, you have Chris, you have Willow, you have Megan Bain. Who are all kind of like the same class of wrestler, just like tall, statuesque, and strong as hell.
And strong, yeah.
Yes, strong as hell. But then you also have this like kind of,
it's Camille Joshi coming style. Back?
It's kind of like Joshi style class with like Anna Jay and Ty Mello and Mercedes. And obviously the Joshi talent, you know, Riho and Shida and so on. But I don't know. And I kind of like that I don't know. Like, I kind of like the ambiguity of it. Like, where does Toni go from here? Because she's Timeless Toni and she's champion again. But she can never be the same as she was her first title run. Because she, like, basically did this whole story about faking, pretending to be herself. Pretending to be Mariah May.
Pretending to be her to play a role.
Inception. So like I think that with this era of Timeless Toni, we can wind down Timeless Toni in like a softer way. Like we can have a good like a goodbye to the Timeless Toni character, you know, a clear landing where we can look back on it with fondness and not, you know, stress over what could have been type stuff. And then we can move forward with Toni Storm. Dan in the chat says Deonna. AEW's done nothing with Deonna. I forgot that she's here. I'm going to be real.
She's paired with why is my brain going blank? Ty Valkyrie. Thank you.
Yes. Which, I don't know. But then also, there's Thunder Rosa and there's Nyla Rose. And all these people who have kind of been not forgotten, because I don't think fans have forgotten them.
No.
But like, sidelined, I guess is the right word. Just kind of like not doing anything. I mean, unless they're doing stuff in Ring of Honor. But right. I would like, because Mercedes has been a workhorse champion, like having all these good matches in AEW and in New Japan and, you know, everywhere. I think it'd be fun if Toni Storm kind of got into that vibe, where Toni Storm goes out and has banger matches against all the talent and all the things. We could have like surprises maybe. I don't know. I'm just like very, very optimistic about where the women's world title is now.
Yeah.
Not that I hated Mariah's run, because I really did like it. But I think that like the drama and like mystique of it all, kind of the title kind of faded to the background a little bit. So I'm excited to see where Tony goes. And I don't know, but I'm like excited to find out. Like I'm excited to watch AWTV so I can see Tony Storm. And so also so I can see Adam Copeland. Because what was this?
I'm sorry. I can't be a hater of him, like legally, you know, I'm legally bound because I am the Adam Copeland crying person.
Yeah.
Forever and ever. Amen.
While I was setting up the stream this morning, I was like in StreamYard doing all the things. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God. Collins is going to have to talk about this Adam Copeland match.
And I would give this a 2-star. Like if we're doing like a Meltzer scale, this is like a 2-star, 2.5-star match.
What if it had a different finish?
If it had a different finish. Yeah, absolutely. Because that was the story that they were telling the entire match. Because what in the hell is this? Why?
I don't know.
Because why would Adam Copeland get a title shot against Jon Moxley then? Why?
I'm so confused. And then Jay White was just there.
What? He was just there. He didn't even do anything. Like, he didn't even get pinned. Like, nobody got pinned. We just watched a 50-year-old man lose consciousness. Yes. Okay? What? That's not the story they told for 15 minutes.
And what really drives me crazy about this is we had the angles on TV where they were attacking Jay White and trying to kill Jay White. And Jay White in this match was an NPC. He was not there. It was the Adam Copeland show, and everybody else was just... And then he passes out.
Yeah, he's just like, I exhausted all my energy. I'm a 50-year-old man, and I can't wait for a revolution.
I'm so excited.
If we're doing the logic here, right? We're doing the logic. Why would they not have had, like, Adam Copeland is... That's why I thought, like, Adam Copeland's getting his shit in. And then all of a sudden, like, a cocky Jay White would come in and get pinned by, like, Claudio or something. And I was like... Then they have this, like, fire feud that I'm like, yes, we're getting that at Revolution. But then they did this ending.
Or you could, like... You could have Jay White just be a selfish jerk and like start mm-hmm. beating up Wheeler Yuta or something and get completely distracted that he forgets about his partner and attacks him. Literally anything. But this, and it makes me even more, oh my God, I'm so mad. I'm so worked up. My heart is pounding.
I feel it because I feel it in my chest.
It makes me even more mad because Copeland came out and had a great entrance and the crowd sang his song and they were fired up for Copeland. And he takes a nap and loses the match.
He takes a canvas nap.
And what sucks even more is that this Death Rider story has made no sense from the jump. They mm-hmm. killed Bryan Danielson, and it was downhill from there.
Why did they do nothing
to rectify any of the problems. And Copeland was one of the big problems, and they had an opportunity to make Copeland like a real contender who is out there as the veteran to Jon Moxley because he's older than Jon Moxley, and he's going to put this freak in his place. And they didn't do it.
They said
he's too old to wrestle. He's too old. And the commentary kept saying he doesn't know if he's ever going to wrestle in Australia again, if he's ever going to have the chance. Not now. I was like flabbergasted by this match. It felt like I was watching like what a TV sitcom imagines wrestling to be. I was floored.
Music, yeah.
And I, mm-hmm. Marina Shafir was the highlight of the whole dang thing.
Oh, she looked great.
I don't know where Jay White was.
I don't know. I mean, there was
barely present.
I thought that he was going to do a sling blade on Marina Shafir at one point because he went to go grab her. And then Claudio was like, no way, you can't do that. Sorry, sorry.
And he should have. Because you know what? Marina has done nothing but carry around the belt in that stupid briefcase. What is she doing? She needs something.
Okay.
And if that's feuding with Jay White, it's feuding with Jay White. I do not care at this point.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why are they carrying the belt in the briefcase, though? I don't get it.
It makes me... So... What was that, like, movie with Sandra Bullock, and she's, like, a thief or whatever, right? It's something... Was that Ocean's 8 or something?
Ocean's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, one of them. And, like, it just reminds me of that scene where, like, she gets out of prison or whatever, and then she goes to a department store, and she asks for a bag or something. And then she puts all the product in the bag and then says, hey, she goes up to a different person, goes to return it. And then she's like, okay, well, if I can't return it without a receipt, I'll just take these home, whatever. So she basically gets free product. You know, that's theft, by the way. Don't do that. It reminds me of this in the way that it's like, it feels like stolen property, right?
Yes.
So, but he is the champ.
He's the champion. So it's his property.
So it makes me think like it's not even real. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then they ask John Moxley about it, and he's like, why do you need to see the belt?
Yeah.
Like at this point, I'm pretty sure he lost it.
It sounds like stolen property. It sounds like it's gone.
I don't get it at
like
all.
It's like it's at a pawn shop.
Am I supposed to be like overwhelmed with joy when someone finally beats John Moxley and they take the belt out of the briefcase and we can finally see it again? Is that what they're going for?
If somebody opens it up and it's just like a bunch of sandwiches or like,
I thought you were going to say sand. Like, they just opened up the sand.
Just like a bunch of blood. Like,
it's like little, it's like Barbie dolls, but they're painted to be the. It's just like Marina Shafir's little toy box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. I'm into that storyline. But yeah, the ending of this match, it was like, and I'm so glad that it wasn't like right before the main event because I was rightfully pissed. I was pissed.
I didn't know what was going on at any point in this match. And it's like Clown says, Beth Phoenix will show up and take Marina out. Where is Beth Phoenix? Because listen to me.
She has good hair right now. She got a cute little haircut.
Copeland and FTR have been feuding with the Death Riders for 6 lifetimes, it feels like. And Beth Phoenix has not shown up once. Marina Shafir is running roughshod over Copeland, FTR, and Jay White. Mm-hmm. And Beth is like, no, not yet. Not yet. Beth. Oh, yeah. I need her to come in and military press Marina Shafir and launch her 50 yards.
Yes, exactly.
Where is she?
I'm into it.
Jay White is too much of a coward to do it. We need someone to do it. And like the thing about Jay White is they have spent so long telling me that he's a switchblade Jay White. He's dastardly. He'll do anything to win. All this kind of stuff. Punch her in the face.
Yeah.
Get rid of Marina. Because as long as Marina's there, John Moxley is going to win. We've seen it time and time again. So, like, I don't get it. I don't get the team composition of Copeland and Jay White. I said that last week. And I was right.
Team composition. I like that. Because you know what? You know who has good team composition? You and me, baby.
Exactly. That's how we know that this was bad.
It didn't make sense then. Doesn't make sense post-match. But I guess we're heading to Revolution.
Where will I cry? I believe that Copeland deserves that title shot.
I don't think I deserve anything after watching that. I think all of our rights have been completely...
I was floored. I was like, and I was trying, you know? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
They're obviously trying to set Cope up to be like a gritty vet, you know, who's like on the tail end of his career. He's maybe falling apart a little bit, but he's got the spirit, he's got the energy, he's like a baby face to the extreme. And instead of giving him the win, this was the only part of the show where I was like, negative emotions in any way. Like, the rest of the show I thought was excellent. Smooth sailing, not pay-per-view level, but definitely more than TV, just like a good watch. And this was the only part where I was like, and that goes for AWTV in general. The only part of AWTV that I'm just like not vibing with is this Death Riders nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not into it either. I want to see it to fruition. But it's weird. It's weird. And you know what? I hate that I know who is behind it writing wise, because he's doing such a great job in other places.
And like Mike says, bring back Bryan Danielson. I don't know if Bryan Danielson is ever coming back, because they killed him. They took him off TV, but they never, the idea was that Bryan Danielson was like not all the way retired, right?
Yeah.
That would revitalize the whole Death Rider story if they brought it back, but I don't think they're going to.
Well, our friend Kate, by the way, had posted this thing on the Twitter that also said, my friends that went to Grand Slam said that the merch was the only thing that was a negative on the experience, which is interesting that this match didn't ruin their experience. It kind of ruined mine, but.
Well, I guess it's just so absurd that it's kind of entertaining.
I guess.
Because I feel like there's, and this is a thing that the Death Riders have really struggled with. It feels like there's a home run, like easy, simple, fundamental story to be told, and they tell something completely different. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something AW has struggled with in general, but the Death Riders thing especially. Like, Jon Moxley comes in, he's like, we're going to make the young guys work for it. We're going to light a fire under their ass. We're going to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And then he does none of it. He just beats up the young guys. And then he's like FTR and Copeland now.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it.
I mean, nobody else is willing to hold them accountable, right?
But like, and they should be, and you know, I don't want to harp on it because we've talked about it before. But like, the only way this Death Rider story works is if it permeates every aspect of the show. And it's so hard to do that because it just feels boring, because everything you watch, the Death Riders are going to be there. But like, you can't tell me they're here to save AEW and revolutionize AEW and then let everything happen until the main event when suddenly they care.
Suddenly.
So I don't know. Josh Alexander apparently coming in, Speedball waiting on that. So I don't know. Maybe one of those guys is going to be like, Jon Moxley, hello. What are you doing? The belt's in the box. You're relying on a bunch of goobers to win your matches.
This is goobers?
Wheeler Yuta's the only goober. I take that back.
All right.
Claudio can be a goober. But I think that he is firmly not goober. Pac is a goober, but Pac has always been a goober. So
he's a bell end. When is that bell end?
I don't know what that means. I hear British people say it all the time. I don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm. It's being a knob.
Sorry to go off topic, but I love British slang. I feel like American slang, a lot of the things we say is like so nasty and so mean and cruel. And British people like try to go around the issue. I love it. But I don't like British food.
Have you had a full Monty? A full breakfast?
Yeah, but like I don't like tomatoes cooked like that. And I don't like mushrooms. So it's just American breakfast at that point. Also, I don't like the beans with breakfast. And that's not a British person trying to say, you Americans don't understand. These beans are not baked beans. They're not like your baked beans. They are.
They are.
They are baked beans. You cannot tell me they're not baked beans.
Okay, but it's great. It's great.
Beans on toast?
Beans on toast is great. It's your daily source of fiber right there. Hell yeah. Don't you want to be regular?
I'd rather just eat the beans. It's the toast that throws me off, like the clash of textures. I'd rather just eat the beans.
For me, I like when a wet food pairs well with a dry food. That is a good pairing.
But if I have a wet food and a dry food, I need the dry food to be really crunchy.
Do you like really crunchy toast?
No, because it tastes like toaster. So like I like a medium toast. Not like a really light toast or a really dark toast, like a medium toast. But I don't like the if I'm gonna have baked beans, I feel like they need to be super, super hot, and it needs to be in like a side dish to a meal. Like I don't want them to be the main star.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a video of a British guy putting SpaghettiOs on toast. And I think that's just their thing over there. I think they just put stuff on toast.
Honestly, it's very neurodivergent of them, and I'm here for it. So
I support it. But I also love that they say sweet corn. And they put sweet corn like on their pizza or in their spaghetti. I'm like, that's so cute.
It's funny.
It is funny. Oh, Dan says bell end is a British slang term considered very vulgar, essentially meaning a stupid or annoying person, and is a derogatory reference to male genitalia. It's considered a highly offensive insult. It doesn't sound like that, though. It sounds like...
It sounds cutesy.
It's cutesy. But here's Google, like, this is the worst thing you could ever call a person. But it's bell end. Like, that's... we have worse, like, more vulgar words in America. They can have those if they want.
I mean, they freely say the C word all the time. So
they do.
Something that would get us demonetized.
I was raised to think that was the worst word that you could ever, ever, ever say.
Same.
And then the first time I heard a British person say it, like in a YouTube video, I was like, is this allowed?
That's what I said. I was like, I don't think you're allowed to say that.
I had to learn that they just say it like freely over there.
Yeah.
I
learned all my slang from Tom from Cultaholic. So
I love Tom from Cultaholic.
I love him. He's a gem.
There's so many people at Cultaholic that I think are just absolute gems.
We love gems.
I love gems. And in wrestling media, there are very few gems. So
it's true.
We appreciate the ones that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But. I love that we got distracted from talking shit about Adam Copeland.
I'm so sorry if you're wearing headphones, by the way. Like, y'all, I'm just going to laugh how I'm going to laugh. And if break this sound barrier with my bird noises.
Oh, well, I've been yelling this whole show, so it's okay. And there's a crow outside, you know, because it's going to rain. So, you know, birds start screaming when it's going to rain.
So. Is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's just constantly raining here. Guess what? Today is the first day that it's above freezing in like 3 weeks.
Let's see what temperature it is here.
I know. We didn't start the top of our show with our weekly weather report.
Weekly weather report. It is 81 degrees and windy here in good old South Florida.
Oh my God.
We are getting colder weather Thursday. Our high is 67, our low is 45. And that will carry us to next Monday when our high is 69 and our low is 44. Our air quality is good, which it was not good on Valentine's Day. That's why I'm sick. And our UV index is 6, which is high. That's my weather report.
So it's been below freezing, like lows and highs for the last 3 weeks. It's snowed almost every single day because there's constant precipitation here in the Pacific Northwest. So today has a high of 48 degrees. So we went from being in the 30s to now in 48 degrees. So I'm in like a short sleeve.
It's summer.
Just cargo pants.
Like, it's summer.
It's summer for us. But it is going to rain at least through Tuesday. So that's what we get a trade off for. So all of our snow is now melted. which is fantastic news because I am not a snow person. I'm not a below freezing person.
Yeah.
The moment that there's snow outside, everything is canceled. On Friday, I fell down the stairs trying to take trying to take my dogs out. And because where the stairs are, there wasn't enough like ice, de-icer or whatever. So all of that snow gets compacted on the stairs. And so it's like putting your icy from 7-Eleven in the freezer. It's a different kind of ice now. It is not squish. It is slip. So my one foot went out and my other foot went the other way. So it just kind of like fell.
You just slid.
Slid down the stairs.
Yeah.
And you know what? My dogs didn't even notice.
On brand
just,
for them.
They just looked back and was like, okay. Embarrassing. I'm embarrassing.
It's okay. But you know what? It's February, which basically means that winter's almost over.
Hey, I'm into that. Let's just jump right into to March.
Let's do it.
Springtime. Springtime is my favorite. Yeah. And you know why? Because I fell in love with my husband in the springtime.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's so springtime. That's such like a vibe.
I know. I've almost been married for a year, for a full year. That's crazy.
Yeah. It feels like it just happened.
I know. And then everyone was yelling at me to not be on the show.
I remember that.
It's because the day after, all of my relatives were in my home still. So I said, I just need to get away from them. Yeah.
I get it.
I needed to get away.
I respect it. I went for a hike Friday. I told you that. Mm-hmm. Went to the Florida swamps trying to find
alligators.
I didn't see any alligators, which I was really disappointed in. We saw some snails. We saw some snakes. We saw some like birds and other things. Took some good pictures, but I really like this picture because so there's a lake in the swamp.
Oh, that's pretty.
And if you zoom in, you can because you could see it better in person. But you see the black line on the tree line. That's where the water came up during the hurricane. Yeah, so the water came up like 3 feet above high tide.
Oh my God.
During the hurricane. So the swamp, it was, last time I was at this particular park, it was kind of dry. The swamp was obviously going to be wet, but like it was more dried out, still flooded. And like they're repairing stuff because they have like ranger stands and like, you know, emergency stuff. They're still kind of repairing stuff because it takes them ages to get money from, you know, the federal government to do all that. There's another park near me that has had a broken bridge in the park since 2017 when we got a major hurricane. Yeah. They're still waiting on money for it. So love that. But, nudged my desk. Everything went crazy.
Here, since you shared that, this is my daily commute, by the way.
At least it's pretty.
It is. That's the 520 bridge, which is the longest floating bridge. But look at those mountains. Come on.
So pretty. So pretty.
So nice. Let me
see if I have anything. Here's some like, almost showed my location.
And by the way, you should take pictures while you're driving. I have my phone and I press record. Well, it's pretty. So just so you know, I'm not sitting there going.
Taking pictures. Person.
We're not doing that. Yeah. I just want to clarify that. I feel like it's important to do that.
To clarify. Yes. To give a little safety warning. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I tried the orange cream Coke.
Like, Coca-Cola. How is it?
It's good. It's not as orangey as I would like. It's more like cream, which, because I was looking for the new Dr. Pepper.
The blackberry one?
Yes.
I got a whole case. You want some?
Yes, I can't find it anywhere because they released the Dr. Pepper coconut like whenever it was, and I couldn't find that anywhere in Florida either.
Oh, that's weird.
Because I have like scouts out looking for me, like my coworkers and my sisters and like everybody. Nobody could. It just never came to Florida, I guess. I don't know. But
that's rude.
Yeah, I was very upset. So we are on the hunt. But I found, we stopped at a gas station, you know, for a hike, and I found the orange cream, which I didn't know existed.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
There's a YouTube channel that I follow now that talks about all the special limited edition things that are coming out from all the different brands. I've gotten the strawberry Dr. Pepper, the strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper, the blackberry one.
Yeah.
And then there's a cherry Pepsi and cream, or cherry cream Pepsi something, that I'm on the hunt for, because do you know that my favorite soda is cream soda, and then it is Diet Coke?
My favorite's Diet Coke. Then I love a good root beer.
Ooh, what's your favorite root beer brand?
Like an A&W, like just a basic bitch root beer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A basic bitch one.
Basic bitch. But it's so good. And I didn't know until like a couple of years ago that root beer was mostly an American thing, that they didn't have it in other places. So now it's even more special. But Silver Apocalypse asks, is this Coke orange vanilla or is it orange cream? It's orange cream.
It's orange cream. Feature.
I also wanted to say, Hangman Page is posted on Blue Sky. He says, white spotted slimy salamander. He is very slippery. In case you were wondering.
Leaves as plants?
Leaves as plants. Let me find
leaves
it.
Leaves as plants.
It looks like this. Orange cream, Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's really pretty.
Yeah. I was like, okay, pop off. But I wanted to get the new off. I wanted to get the new Dr. Pepper, but they didn't freaking have it.
Yeah.
Strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper is good. Everyone in the chat, you're right. I like it.
See, I want them to last until summer, so that because if you are from around here, you know that Tillamook ice cream is like a staple from the Pacific Northwest. I want to get the blackberry Tillamook ice cream. And they have like a summer strawberry one that only comes out during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make Dr. Pepper floats with those.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very summertime, bubbly, yay. Love that.
But, sounds good. Well, do you want to do your final thoughts and your plugs?
Final thoughts is that AEW is good. WWE... can be for other people, but it is not for me at this time. Choose your poison, and this is mine. Diminishing other people's yums is totally loser behavior. So if someone likes AEW, or somebody likes WWE, or likes TNA, or likes Ring of Honor, and you want to yuck their yum, you're a loser. Because wrestling is hot right now. Everything in wrestling is hot. So like hot things and like the things that you like. If you want to follow me on all social media and figure out all the things that I like to say, I like to live stream shows, live tweet shows, live sky shows. I don't know what it is. What is a blue sky message? Post? I don't know.
Post?
I don't know. Whatever it is, I like to talk about things that are currently going on in wrestling. You can follow me _queerauntie. If they don't allow underscores like blue sky, it's just queerauntie. I am on some sort of channel Thursday through Mondays. So I'm mostly on our local establishment. I'm here on Sundays. But if you follow me on all social media, you will know when I go live. And if you want to follow all the different shows and all the different channels, I follow you back if you follow our local establishment or follow Fightful Overbooked. So with that said, find me. And we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow on our local establishment for the Women's Classic Wrestling podcast. We are jumping right into season 2 of the Mae Young Classic, because it is Women's Classic Wrestling. So why don't we talk about some classic women's matches? And if you want to join me, you should.
Period.
Where can we find you?
Well, my final thought is that AW is back. Knock on wood. Don't jinx it. And Kenny Omega is the reason for that. You can follow me on Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. I didn't, because I didn't stay up for Grand Slam. If you missed the beginning of the show, I gave up and went to bed because the NBA was just being annoying. But I will post my thoughts about AW. Mostly, I only mostly watch AW these days and New Japan. But you can follow me on Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. And then also, this is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show every Sunday at noon on Fightful Overbooked. Noon Eastern, mind you. Where me and Collins talk about the things in wrestling that make us cry. And we just sit here and we have a good time with all of you. And just, you know, it's a good little positive break from the world and everything going on around us. So you can see us every Sunday at noon. You can also subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, which there's a lot of shows on Fightful Overbooked. And I'm pretty sure, like, there's some things cycling in and out. So make sure you go to the playlist tab. After this, obviously, go to the playlist tab and then look and see what's popping. There's wrestling stuff. There's like all sorts of wrestling stuff. Some like AW, some WWE, some like indies stuff happening. So you're gonna have to go like search for what you like, obviously. And there's also non-wrestling stuff that's just going on. It's just a good time.
They just talked about a reality show recap. So
yeah. Fightful Overbooked is like,
yeah,
like it's the Wild West, you know, like everybody's just, everybody just walks in and they set up shop in their house with their little farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, you know, and then they're, you know, we're all just cowboys at the end of the day. Speaking of, when Hangman Page's music hits, like his music, not this, you know, dark music, when that music hits for the first time, I think I'm going to pee my pants.
I'm sorry. I like the wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I like it, but I also miss like gung-ho cowboy hangman who's ready to like beat people up and have a good time. But yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday at noon Eastern time, so whatever time that is for you, on Fightful Overbooked to talk about what is presumably going to be a good week of wrestling TV and wrestling fun times. So we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save